I say, you know, it might sound frivolous, but I really need you to like me. And they all kind of laugh a little bit. And it's like a good icebreaker. And I say, but in all seriousness, I need you bought in. And I need for my clients to be a full body yes or full body no. And either is okay. But when we walk through this process together, I'm going to need you bought into me and my team and our process. And if you are not, then it's not a good fit.
You're listening to the No BS Agency Podcast. We talk strategies that can take your 1 to 2 person branding agency from $5,000 to $30,000 per month without hiring employees or working your ass off. All you have to do is cut the BS. I am Pia Silva. I am so excited to welcome Sarah Chambers, the founder, CEO, and brand strategist at Ellie and Nora Creative, and one of my star students who I am not only have had the pleasure of working with and seeing just soar over the last couple of years, but I am also lucky enough to now call her one of my coaches. So, Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm so happy you're here, and I really want everyone to get to know a little bit about you. Can you just tell us briefly, you know, tell us about the kind of business that you have, the services you offer, and who you like to work with?
So Ellie and Nora is a full-service creative agency, and we like to say that we build and activate brave, bold, and brag-worthy brands. And typically, we are working with female-led, female-founded, service-based businesses and entrepreneurs. So we do about half and half service-based businesses and personal brands.
Love that. And can you tell us this backstory behind the name of your business? Because I love it.
I was really searching for what do I call this thing? And how do I make sure that it resonates? And I decided to name it Ellie and Nora based off of the names of two women that I think had exceptional qualities that were really important for this work. So Ellie is representative of Eleanor Roosevelt, and Nora is representative of Nora Ephron. And like I said, these women just had qualities that I thought were really important for this work, like advocacy and bravery and observation and wit and not taking yourself too seriously and creativity. And so it was really just born from the spirit of women that came before me.
That's beautiful. So let's talk about how far you've come. So when you joined us a couple of years ago, almost to the date from our recording of this, you're doing really well. I remember you had a lot of great clients and you were doing amazing work. So tell me, what were your big challenges? What made you want to join our program?
Yeah, I was really feeling like something was missing and I just couldn't quite articulate what it was. It felt like there were a lot of programs out there that were more general for entrepreneurship. And I just felt like they didn't really understand the nuances of running an agency or the nuances of branding, working with clients in the way that I wanted to work with them. And there was just a little bit of a disconnect from what I think that I was looking for versus what I had been approached with in other kinds of groups. And I knew that I wanted some help and some mentorship and some leadership, but I just wasn't finding anything that felt like it was specific enough to me and my business. And I was in a phase where I had sent out so many proposals during this very short period of time, and it felt like so much work and so much effort. And then, of course, they just ghosted me on the other end of that, and I couldn't get them back on the phone. I couldn't get them to talk about it. And I just knew that there had to be a better way. I just didn't know what that was yet. And so it felt like a godsend to join the No BS community because it was kind of everything that I was looking for, but maybe didn't really even know quite yet that that's what I needed.
We hear that a lot, Sarah. I didn't really know what this was all about. I remember distinctly one of the first lead products that you delivered. I remember it because I think you sold it or did it over Thanksgiving. And I remember being like, whoa, even over Thanksgiving. Do you remember this?
Vaguely, yeah.
And I think I'll let you tell it, but the way that I remember it was that you did this interview and the woman was like, I had hired someone else, but I want you to do everything.
I feel like that is such a testament to the lead product process and what it has done. I mean, it's not an over-exaggeration to say that that is such a fundamental transformative part of my business and my process now. And I'm so grateful because it does a couple of things. And I even tell clients on the call, hey, this is the reason why we do things a little bit differently. And I say, you know, it might sound frivolous, but I really need you to like me. And they all kind of laugh a little bit. And it's like a good icebreaker. And I say, but in all seriousness, I need you bought in. And I need for my clients to be a full body yes or full body no. And either is okay. But when we walk through this process together, I'm going to need you bought into me and my team and our process. And if you are not, then it's not a good fit. And so this lead product, of course, I don't call it, it's called a brand aid for us. When you walk through the brand aid process with me, then you will walk out of that meeting and you will have ultimate clarity of whether or not myself and my team and my agency is the right partner for you to walk through this process with, or we're not. And again, either is okay, but we need to have full body yes or full body no. And this process has allowed me to establish trust and rapport with the client prior to asking them for a large high ticket product sale. And the conversion on the other end of that, of course, is so much higher and better, but it's because I'm not asking them to sign on the dotted line on a massive investment before they even know anything about me or whether I'm a good fit or what it is that we can do or that we understand them or the problem that they're in. And so I think that this has been absolutely transformational in the rapport and the trust that you can establish with a client prior to them even deciding that you're the right fit for them to do that bigger project.
Oh, I love how you framed that. No wonder people are knocking down your door to buy them. And you have such a nice conversion rate with them. Tell me a little bit about, like, nothing is all, what does they say, sunshine and roses. Like, even when you're building your business and it's going really well, I know that you came in and I think you had a few retainer clients when you first joined us, yeah, right? And there were some bumps along the road as you were implementing this process. What were some of the biggest challenges that you had? Because I know everybody has these challenges and I want them to know, because I want you to share where you've come. And I think it's important for people to know, like, it's not just a straight shot. Like, there are bumps along the way. Like, what are some of the biggest challenges you've experienced building this business?
Well, like you said, when I first met you a couple of years ago, things were okay. They were, you know, I wasn't in a desperate place. I was doing okay. It wasn't where I wanted to be, but I had a steady business, looking to grow, looking to scale, of course. And then the next year, the opposite happened and everything really tanked for me. I did less than half of the revenue that year than I did the previous year. It was absolutely the most challenging phase that I've walked through, because you start to get in your head, you start to question whether or not you're doing anything right, whether you're supposed to be doing this, whether the last client that you had was in fact the last one you'll ever have. And you start to just tell yourself a lot of stories that aren't true. And weathering that storm and having the fortitude to just hold my vision tightly and to walk through that, even though it was painful, was I'm not at the end of the challenges that will come, but so far that has been one of the biggest ones. And even working when we went to our retreat, the reframe, I have it right here too.
You do.
Can share it. It says, oh, it's backwards, but it says the measure of success is found in the commitment to continue. And that is something that I definitely hold true. Even remembering and kind of looking back at that season was that the people who are successful are not the smartest always, are not the most innovative or what we think of them, but they're the ones who just decided to keep going. If I can just find a way to hold on and keep going and stay the course and hold my vision tightly, then I'll find my way to the upswing of it again. And I did.
And you know, what I kind of observed, and you can tell me if this is kind of how I remember it, because it was a while ago, right?
Yeah.
Was that your business was going well and you were living off of referrals and you had some retainer clients. And what happened was it didn't take much for, if you stopped working with a couple of those retainer clients, but because you hadn't really built the pipeline, that was what that season, the gloomy season was. It was you building a pipeline essentially from scratch. And I remember it being like, okay, but when is this going to happen? Tell me a little bit about some of your biggest wins since then? Like, what have your biggest projects been?
That's a really great question. I want to answer that in a second, but I do want to definitely play off of what you just said. It's really important. I had a client that we were working with for 2 years that was a really big client. The retainer on it was like $6,000 a month. And it was most of my income and most of my time. And so it felt like I was most definitely not doing any lead generation. I was not going after new business. It was just kind of coming. And when it came, I would take it on and then business would kind of go up and down. But I always had that client kind of at that base. And when they decided to bring all of their marketing internal and then even just a few months later transitioned into a merger with another company, it's not that I did anything wrong. It's not that I didn't do great work. It didn't end painfully. It was just that season had wrapped and I had not done anything in my business to prepare myself for losing that client. And that was probably the beginning of what was that really hard year. So those are really painful lesson and a really good observation. But since then, we just signed our biggest client to date. We're working with another partner, but for us, the project is about $40,000. And our portion of that is, I mean, it's $40,000 for us, but like the branding line item on that is $25,000 just for branding.
That's amazing.
And it just kind of blows my mind a little bit. Like, that's kind of what we had been charging and still to some degree charge for brand and web, including a photo shoot and all of that. And this client needed so much more in-depth branding work and the type of client that it was and being able to package services to say this is absolutely the upsell and being able to command that price point without an argument, without a blinking, without a negotiation. It is like putting myself into a caliber of service providers where that is the expected rate for the caliber of quality of service that I provide.
So much congratulations, Sarah. And this is like a recent client, but I know you've had some really big months in the past year and some not so big months. And I want to bring it up because I think what people don't really realize as their prices go to these levels that it's not exactly that you're going to be closing at the same clip as you were when you were selling $5,000 brands projects or you know, $8,000 websites. The higher they get, sometimes you can do like almost nothing 1 month and then 70,000 the next month and it evens out into the amount that you're going to make. And something we talk about a lot inside Mastery is the idea of annual thinking. So I know it's a tough one. I was wondering if you could just speak a little to the mindset shifts you've had around money, because you have to have those mindset shifts to be able to charge these kinds of prices and go after them.
It's so true. You have to have the mindset. Well, first of all, for me, the first one was getting over the, like, who am I to charge that? Like, who am I to even think that I could charge that much money? Or I'm totally taking advantage of people for charging this much money, or that's ridiculous. And it's just so short-sighted because I look around, and no shame on, you know, other businesses for sure, but there's a lot of big businesses, big agencies in my city. I'm in Phoenix, and they're charging way more than that for their branding services. And that's silly. Why would I not be able to charge market value for the level of service that I'm providing? And also moving away from, I think a lot of us originally come to this career with like an hourly kind of mindset and switching over to a value-based mindset. And the value of branding at the level that we do it provides our clients a lifeline to be able to extend their revenue in their business. And the ROI on branding is just infinite. And so for me to finally say, like, no, I'm providing you an incredibly valuable piece of foundational strategy and assets that is going to serve your business from here on out, like, that is definitely worth what I'm charging. So that was probably the first mindset shift. But I love how you talked about annual thinking, because that is something that was, I don't know why, it was just so hard for me to embrace I understood it logically, but there's a difference when you like really transition over from just pure logic to I embrace this in my soul. You know, that might seem dramatic, but it's a little bit tactical in cash flow and understanding how to kind of manage that big fluctuation of money. But for the most part, it's more of a management of an expectation. Just because I had, you know, a $60,000 month one month doesn't mean that that's the new standard for every month coming out, and that now I've hit that new high and I have to keep growing and maintain that from now on, or somehow that says something about me as like a successful business owner. But recognizing like it's going to go up, but like the next couple of months, like I could book absolutely nothing. And I've really learned not to let that panic me. And I've really learned that that doesn't mean that I should change route. I think the tendency was to be like, oh, I'm not doing something right. I have to go find something new to do. I have to find a new strategy. I have to find a new tactic. I have to do something new and like pivot quick. When I'm like, actually, what you need to do is just keep doing what you've been doing and stick with the strategy and be consistent. And that is what wins over time.
Oh, that is such a great summary. Yeah. If I can just underline what you said, like when you're going for these bigger projects and bigger projects, you do work with fewer. That's the point, is to work with fewer clients at higher prices. And it's so hard, me included. It's so hard. You have a really big month. Well, if the next month isn't as big, somehow I'm failing. And I just really want us all to unstick that mindset, because business is cyclical and you can be succeeding. And that's why we do annual thinking, as your annual is going up each year. And sometimes it even goes down one year because you're investing in yourself. But regardless, as long as it is overall going up, because it'll be because you're sticking with it. And I've just watched you do that with such power and gusto. And I'm just so incredibly proud of you. And I guess I'm kind of setting up this next question. That might be one of them, but I'll let you decide. What do you think is like your no BS superpower? What do you think you could best lend a hand to our launch padders who are struggling with some or all of these challenges right now?
I love this question because it's something that I didn't used to think was an asset, and I've come to learn that it absolutely is. I am an incredibly direct but compassionate communicator. And so I think one of the things that I'm able to bring to anyone on our team who's maybe struggling is that kind of no BS communication, and that actually I'm going to challenge that thinking. I'm going to push back on you. I'm going to ask you to think about that again. Like, I'm definitely not like a rollover and kind of accept it kind of girl. I definitely am a challenger. I'm an Enneagram 8, if anyone knows anything about the Enneagram. But I do that with a lot of care and a lot of compassion. And so I think that that's something that I'm going to definitely be bringing to the table, is how can I challenge those mindsets? How can I push back on some of that limited thinking? But also, I think one of the things I'm also really good at is language and communication, and being able to give people real examples of, here's what I think that you could say in that moment, and here's maybe some language to help you move through this. And I think that people feel, I mean, of course, like as a communicator and a brand strategist, that's absolutely what I do. But here's some tools, here's some language that I can equip you with to help you move through that moment next time.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think those are definitely your superpowers. And I've watched you just do that naturally with everybody around you. So I'm really so delighted that you'll be able to lend that very high level of communication expertise to our people. Last question, what made you want to step into a role where you're supporting fellow business owners while also building your fabulous business?
Yeah, thank you. It's actually been a transition for me, I would say, even in the last like couple of months. I feel like I've really like put my head down and focused on my own business and tried really hard not to look around to other people. But like I've shared with you before, I've really been exploring this idea of collaboration, and especially in creative communities, and what that looks like and how we can be successful and there's enough business and room for all of us, and how it's actually a monumental personal growth moment for us to be able to step out and be in community and support others who are doing exactly what it is that we do, what the services that we offer. And so I think that it's been a personal growth moment for me because I feel really strong in leadership in like entrepreneurship communities where everyone doesn't really know what I know. And I feel very confident in being the authority. And it has been a massive moment of growth for me to step into leadership among my peers. So I really want to challenge myself to continue down this route that I've been on and this journey that I've been on to really embracing that and kind of claiming the light inside of this industry and not just in business and entrepreneurship in general. So I feel really excited about stepping into this new space and really claiming that for myself and kind of like practicing what I preach to everyone else.
You're a natural leader, Sarah. That's why you were, you know, came directly to mind when I was thinking about who can I possibly trust with all of these people that I am like, I feel so responsible for all of their success. And it's only people that I know walk the walk. And that is so you. So thank you so much for coming on. Always a pleasure to see you. I love continuing to work with you. Where can people find more about you?
Yeah, so I hang out mostly on Instagram. You can find me at Sarah Chambers Creative. That's Sarah with no H. My agency is Ellie and Nora Creative. Hang out there also. I also am on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn and Instagram are typically where I hang out. Also, my website is ellieandnoracreative.com.
And it's Sarah, no H. So if you're looking for Sarah Chambers, H. Sarah no H. I adore you, Sarah. Thank you so, so much. And I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Pia.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'll be back next week with more no BS tips for your agency so you can find more profit, ease, and freedom. The No BS Agency podcast is produced by Yellow House Media. Coordinator is Lou Blazer. This episode is edited by Marty Seafelt. Creative direction by Sean and Tara McMullen. Our theme music is Knock 'Em Down by The Shrugs.